forever by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sand Point, Alaska.
This is a singer-songwriter named Amy Allen. She has a new self-titled album, and you might not recognize her name right away, but there's a very good chance you might recognize some of her other work. So you can sleep, baby, I know that me is special. Amy Allen was a co-writer of Sabrina Carpenter's massive 2024 album, Short and Sweet, which included this hit, Espresso. Allen has also written for a ton of other pop stars like Selena Gomez and Harry Styles. Coming up, Amy talks about how she thinks about writing pop songs and talks about what success looks like for a professional songwriter.
If I have two or three songs in that year come out that the public knows, that's like a massive year for songwriters. So think about how many songs are not being used. Like, the batting average is not good.
And Amy talks about what's different about writing songs for herself and releasing them under her own name on her new record. Amy Allen, today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. First up, Margot Price, You're No Good.
Thank you. baby, you're no good.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Odds are, even if you don't know the name of this song, you've probably heard it at some point, somewhere over the past year. It's called Espresso, and it's from Sabrina Carpenter's 2024 number one album, Short and Sweet. And if you look at the liner notes for that album, there's one name that pops up as a co-writer on not only that song, but every single song on that album. Amy Allen. Amy Allen is a songwriter who is behind hits by many, many pop artists. Harry Styles, Halsey, Selena Gomez, Tate McRae, the list goes on. She's also the third person to ever win the Songwriter of the Year Grammy and the first woman to take that prize. But Amy Allen has songs of her own to share, too. She released her debut self-titled album in September of 2024, and today she joins me to talk about that record, about what it's like to release her songs under her own name, and about the contrast between writing for others and writing for herself. She also lets you peek behind the curtain for a glimpse of the life of a professional pop songwriter. My conversation with Amy Allen is coming up, but first, from her self-titled debut, Amy Allen, Girl with a Problem.
I like how you touch me in every public place, yeah. I like how you brush back the hair falling on my face, yeah. And nothing happens for no reason, must have been a higher power talking when you walked into my life. I blame you for the way I'm feeling. Let them say I'm off the edge and all, and I don't care. It's true, they're right. I'm just a girl with a problem. What can you do? I'm just a girl with a problem. A girl with a problem for wanting.
On World Cafe, you just heard Amy Allen, Girl with a Problem. That's from Amy's debut self-titled solo album. I'm Raina Duris. Amy Allen is my guest today. Amy, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. I know you've been working on this album in one sense or another for, I think, 6 years, which is quite yeah. a while. When you set out to write it, did you have a vision for it?
No, I definitely didn't. Like 6 years ago, I was not setting out to write an album. It just so happened that like a year and a half ago, I looked back at this group of songs that I had written over the past 6 years and was like, I love some of these, and it would be a shame to not put these out in the world, because my whole like thesis statement for why I wanted to do the album is when I'm like a grandmother, I want to look back and, you know, of course I write for other artists and I love doing that and it's really fun, but it's nice to have something personal and intimate that is mine that I put out at this time in my life.
I have lots more questions about the new album, but I want to come back to that a little later in the conversation because I do want people to know your backstory and I want them to know some of the other things that they might know you for. You started making music really early on. I think you joined your sister's band at 8 years old.
Yeah.
And you played bass, right?
Why? I played an electric bass.
Why bass?
One of my sisters came home one day and she was the drummer in this band. And I don't even think any of us even knew what a bass player was at that age. And I think like a music teacher in their elementary school was like, you guys have two lead guitarists and a drummer. You probably need to switch one guitarist, like a rhythm guitar, and get a bass player. So she came home and asked if, you know, she said she was looking for a bass player. And I was like, please put me in. I don't even know what that instrument is, but like, put me in. And my parents saved up money and got me like this little mini electric bass. And that's how I started.
So cute. I do feel like bass is like the instrument that people just start playing because they were joining a band and they have to learn like kind of on the spot. Like that's really happened.
It's actually like so helpful to start on bass and to like have to get the feel of what it feels like to like hold down the band in some capacity and like be the, it's just, I don't know. I'm really grateful I started on bass and it's also like the coolest instrument. So hell yeah. You know,
you can't not look cool playing bass.
Yeah.
You composed your own songs not too long after joining that band. I think it was like a couple of years. Do you remember what some of those early songs were about?
Oh yeah, of course. I was like 9 years old writing about heartbreak and being a woman, which obviously I had no idea what I was talking about. But I think it was really, when I look back on it now, it was like very foreshadowing to the career that I have now, because a lot of times when I'm writing with other artists, I have to put myself in their shoes and sometimes like create this world in my brain that I'm, you know, living their exact experience and moving through that. And when I was little, I was doing the exact same thing. I was sitting on my bed, you know, like identifying with this person that I wasn't quite, and like writing songs, you know, like trying to figure it all out. And I think it's really nice to write poems and songs from a place of like, you know, this isn't exactly my exact lived experience right now, but it could be in a couple of years, or it could have been if I had done something differently. So it's, yeah, I don't know. They were all about heartbreak.
I mean, I think that's so interesting that like you really did start doing that right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
What kind of music were you hearing around the house as a kid?
Whatever my dad was playing, which I grew up in Maine, and you know, my dad loves classic rock and just like a lot of the Stones, a lot of the Who, Led Zeppelin. Also, like I got into, when I started to get, I don't know, maybe closer to middle school, I started geeking out over like Dolly Parton and Tom Petty and like great writers of like crafting stories, and John Prine, and that kind of like blew the doors open for how much I loved songwriting. And yeah, I fell in love with Fleetwood Mac because of my dad just like always rinsing those albums on our long drives to and from school. So yeah, I was getting schooled on classic rock for sure.
Could you pick a Tom Petty song for us that we could play, one that you really love?
Oh my God. I mean, I love his music for so many reasons, but there's this one line in the song of his, and it's like, the waiting is the hardest part. And I always go back to that song. Like there's something about it that I absolutely obsessed with, how simple each lyric is, but each line needs to be there for the next one to make sense. And it just always is building onto the next line. And so the waiting, probably.
Here's Tom Petty, The Waiting on World Cafe. The Waiting by Tom Petty on World Cafe. A song that my guest today loves. Her name is Amy Allen. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. At what point, Amy, did you realize you wanted to make music as a job and not just for fun?
I went to college. I went to Boston College for nursing school. And I think when I got there immediately, I was like, this, the fact that music isn't my, like, you know, I tried to join an a cappella group. I tried to do all the things that were like full lost causes that did not belong anywhere like that. And I just missed it so much. I missed how much time I used to have to play it and to, you know, learn about how to write better songs. And so pretty early on into being in nursing school, I realized it wasn't for me. And I transferred to Berklee College of Music. And then instantly just being surrounded by different other creatives that were doing the same thing and were geeking out over lyrics and, you know, chord changes, it just all kind of came into place. But I started a band. Like, I didn't really know writing for other people was going to turn into my full-time career. I was still like thinking, having, you know, being up on a stage was my only outlet for songwriting. Then I moved to New York and I met a songwriter that, you know, was working a lot at the time. And yeah, I just fell in love with getting to go into a studio every day and write songs, whether they're for myself or for others or with others and collaborating. It just, I fell in love with it.
Was that songwriter Scott Harris?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Who's written songs for like Justin Bieber and Shawn Mendes and
he's the
best. All sorts of people. What do you remember from your first ever songwriting session with another artist?
Oh, I was so nervous. At the beginning, I was like, I didn't know what overstepping a boundary was with like saying too much and trying to tell their story for them. Or I was like really learning the ebb and flow of songwriting culture. And it was very scary. But I'd say like around like maybe like my fifth session, I was like, okay, I get the hang of this. I know how to be in a session, kind of like starting to learn the etiquette and how to connect with people, not have it feel forced.
Yeah, songwriting is such a vulnerable thing. Like, you do have to be so honest. And then you also have to put your own ideas out there.
I know. It's a crazy thing.
Were there any, like, early on, were there any sort of tricks or sort of mental things that you would tell yourself that you developed to give yourself the confidence to just do it?
I mean, I still do them. It's like a big joke in the songwriting community, but everybody always has, like, every songwriter now has a tag they kind of will say, like, they'll like set up a line. And mine is always not this, but, and I'll like, if I have a line or like a concept, I'll be like, okay, not exactly this, but like, and then I'll say the line. And it's, you know, I think I started doing that like so early on and I still do. It doesn't matter how many songs I've been a part of that have, you know, done really well. And people know I still like carry that with me where I'm like, I'm going out on this vulnerable limb on the branch on the tree and I'm going to say my thing. So I think really the most important thing for me that I've learned though, is just getting the quality time in at the beginning of the session with whoever I'm with, if it's an artist or if it's another songwriter, or if it's just me and a producer, and like really getting to try to find like the common ground there and figure out what the other person likes to talk about and what makes them, you know, tick. That's the most exciting part for me. And that's also the most like helpful part, I think, of the whole process.
We'll get into the nitty gritty of the songwriting in a few minutes, but you moved to LA in 2017. You'd already met Scott Harris at this point, but growing up and going to school on the East Coast and then moving to LA is a pretty big move. What was behind that decision to go to LA?
I had lived in New York for just about a year. I was like working at Lululemon. I was trying to make ends meet and going to sessions as much as I could. And then I co-wrote this song that Selena Gomez ended up singing, and it started to do really well on radio. And
Back to You, Back to You, right?
Yeah, it's called Back to You. And it gave me the confidence. And I'd also met my now manager at around the same time I met Scott. So I kind of was like building this, you know, a little squad that believed in me. And I was starting, you know, it was a long road to believing in myself, like convincing myself I could do this, but I was starting to get up the, you know, the confidence to be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, move from New York where it's not a massive songwriting community right now, you know, and versus LA, which is, there's thousands of songwriters here.
Sure.
And like really make this jump to be like a very small fish in a very, very, very terrifyingly big pond.
I mean, it went well. I mean, even that Selena Gomez song, it made the Billboard Hot 100. Back to you. Halsey, you released, you co-wrote Without Me with Halsey. Same year it came out, also made the Billboard Hot 100. What was it like to hear a song that you wrote on the radio for the first time?
It still feels, this is so cheesy, but genuinely it still feels as exciting. Like every time it happens and just hearing, or like it comes on in a workout class, or like I hear girls just like singing it, walking down the street, like anything. Like it's so exciting because it's like, okay, a part of my story people are resonating with, a part of the artist story that I wrote it with people are resonating with. And, you know, like whether it's a sad song that people feel like they can really connect to, or like a happy song that makes people like laugh or dance or whatever they're doing. Like, it's just nice to have that human connection. And I think music can sometimes be like a very isolating, lonely existence. So to be able to be in the wild and see people connecting in real time is like the best part for sure.
I'm before we get too far away from it, I'm going to play that Selena Gomez track, Back to You, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more. I'm talking to Amy Allen on World Cafe. Here's a song that she co-wrote by Selena Gomez. It's Back to You.
I want to hold you when I'm not supposed to, when I'm lying close to someone else. You're stuck in my head and I can get you out of it if I could do it all again. I know I'd go back to you. Got it right, playing and replaying old conversations, overthinking every word, and I hate it cause it's not me. And what's the point of hiding? Everybody knows we got unfinished business, and I'll regret it if I didn't say this isn't what it could be. You could break my heart in two, but when it heals it beats for you. I know it's forward but it's true.
On World Cafe, Selena Gomez with Back to You, a song from 2018 that was co-written by my guest today, Amy Allen. I'm Raina Duris. I'm also curious, as somebody who, you know, played in your own band and who performs music yourself, how much ownership do you feel when you see a song that you wrote do well, even when it isn't released under your name?
Changes all the time. Sometimes it depends on the song too, really. Like, there's some songs that I feel so, so, so deeply connected to because the story is like, you know, it could have been a really intimate story that myself and the artist both connected to in a really real way. And then sometimes they're just, you know, fun songs and I don't feel as like emotionally triggered and like held by that song. But I think I still feel ownership over all of them because they're like a piece of me that's out in the world, you know?
Yeah. After you had those two songs do really well in 2018, how did things change for you?
Actually, my friend Julia Michaels and I were just talking about this. We're like, some people, when they have success, it's really exciting. And it's like they're riding this roller coaster and like waving a flag and having so much fun. And other people, it feels like this pressure to be like, okay, now I have to prove myself like every time. And I have to like do this again, or I have to just like, you know, like hope that something, next thing I do doesn't fail.
Yeah. Something to lose, you know?
Yeah, totally. It gives you something to lose. And so I definitely felt a bit of that.
You've had many, many more charting songs since then, including a couple of number ones. What do you think listeners or audiences are looking for in a song? Or do you even think about that at all when you're working on it?
So I tried really hard not to think about who's going to be consuming it and how to please them in, you know, in the process of it. But I do think a really exciting thing about music right now is that listeners are so smart. And, you know, I think that there's this like weird urban legend that has been told about songwriting for so long, which is like, you need to write to like the lowest common denominator. And like, it needs to be like the melody needs to be like super nursery rhyme, and so that, you know, like, you know, anybody can sing it back, and the lyric needs to be really vague so anybody can connect to it. And I think right now in music, it's really exciting because it feels like it's the opposite. Like, I feel like the artists that are winning right now are the artists that are saying things you wouldn't expect them to say and singing melodies that, like, you would never expect to hear, and crossing genres and, you know, doing really exciting things. And I feel like pop music is entering a really exciting space right now. And a lot of genres are. So yeah, that, in the room, I'm mostly trying to like think outside of the box and how I would really push myself as opposed to, you know, who's consuming it and what they can handle.
I'm speaking with Grammy-winning songwriter Amy Allen. She'll talk about the first thing she focuses on when she starts working with an artist when our conversation continues after the break here on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Amy Allen. She won Songwriter of the Year at the most recent Grammy Awards and has her own self-titled album out now. You kind of touched on this earlier, but you know, you've worked with a huge number of people: Olivia Rodrigo, Leon Bridges, Jonas Brothers, Maren Morris. The list goes on and on. And all of those people are different artists, but they're all very different people as well. Mm-hmm. So what is the first thing that you do when you are going into a songwriting session with someone that you've never worked with before?
The first thing is, for me, is like, just songwriting aside, just be like, okay, I want to get to know this person that I'm with. You know, I'm not like in my head, like everything they say being like, ooh, that could be a lyric. I really genuinely try to take the first hour to just be like, who are you? Like, you know, what are we talking about? Just like, you know, just have a normal conversation. And then I'd say, like, once that feels like there's like a trust established and we're just friends chatting, it's like a little bit easier to be like, okay, this person feels like this is the topic, or like this is the thing that they could vent about. Whatever, usually to me, it's like whatever it seems like they could call their best friend and like talk to a lot about, whatever that topic is what we should write in that day. You know, I don't ever go in and be like, I have a list of titles, what do you think about these? You know, like, that to me would be, if I was the artist in that situation, I'd feel very uncomfortable. Like, I don't resonate with the word screwdriver. Why are we trying to write a song called screw? You know, I'm like, right. You know, things like that. So I just try to be as fluid as possible and just talk to whoever I'm with like they're my friends. And a lot of time they are my friends, which makes the job a lot easier.
Have you ever had a day of work, I'm saying work in quotes, where you finished the day and you're like, wow, I can't believe this is my job. I can't believe this is work. I just had such a fun, weird, whatever it is day that you could tell us about?
All the time. I mean, I also have the days where I leave being like, I'm the worst songwriter in the world, and that was so bad. But I will say I've had so many days that I'm really grateful for. One in particular, and I know Sabrina's talked about this and Jack Antonoff has talked about this, but the day that the three of us wrote that Please, 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 we were at Electric Lady in New York City and it was snowing and we were in the studio and we like went out on to, you know, Jack's little deck off of his studio at Electric Lady, and Sabrina and I were just standing in the snow like halfway through writing Please, Please, Please and just laughing because every line we were like, it's so funny and it's so relatable, and not thinking at all that that would ever find its way to radio, because it's break, you know, that song modulates and, you know, it can't changes key and it is saying, you know, crazy things left and right. But you know, we just had so much fun. I remember walking back to my hotel after that, just being like, that was one of my favorite songwriting days of my life.
Let's hear a bit of Please, Please, Please. This is Sabrina Carpenter on World Cafe.
I know I have good judgment. I know I have good taste. It's funny and it's ironic that only I feel that way. I promise them that you're different, and everyone makes mistakes, but just don't. I heard that you're an actor, so act like a stand-up guy. Whatever devil's inside you, don't let him out tonight. I tell them it's just your culture, and everyone rolls their eyes. Yeah, I know. All I'm asking, baby, please, 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 don't prove I'm right. Just stay inside. I know you're craving some fresh air, but the ceiling fan is so nice. And we could live so happily if no one knows that you're with me. I'm just kidding, but really, really.
Cafe, you just heard Sabrina Carpenter, Please, 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 from her album Short and Sweet. That song was co-written by my guest today, Amy Allen, who co-wrote that song and all of the songs on that album. It was partly because of that album that you became the third person to ever win the Grammy for Songwriter of the Year, an award that's only existed for 3 years, which is kind of mind-blowing to me.
I
thought I was reading a mistake when I read that, because I'd tricked my brain, I guess, into thinking it always existed. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second, what did winning that award mean to you?
Oh, my whole family came out from Maine, and it just meant so much. I mean, I said it a little bit in my acceptance speech, but it's so important, that award, because there's been so many songwriters that have just soundtracked so many generations and never got to get their flowers in any way. You know, it was like they were behind this curtain their entire careers, and a lot of them aren't even here anymore. So I just felt really honored to be up there and like have that moment for songwriters that have come before me that have changed how music is today and have made it what it is today. And yeah, it just... mostly just like seeing my family be really excited was the best part.
I bet. I'm speaking with Amy Allen today on The World Cafe. We've talked a lot about the writing you do for other people. Your debut album is songs that you wrote for you, and it feels meaningful that it is a self-titled album.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it time for you to release a full album under your name and your name only?
Yeah, I think I just had reached this threshold in my career where, like, I've been doing this now for 6 years of going into a studio and writing, collaborating and having a great time, but giving, you know, putting so much of my storytelling and my love and my care into these songs. And a lot of those songs, which I think the general public doesn't realize, but if I'm writing like 5 songs a week, sometimes more for artists, if I have 2 or 3 songs in that year, come out that the public knows. That's like a massive year for songwriters. But think about how many songs are not being used. Like the batting average is not good. Even for the best writers in the world, like the batting average is bad. So I think I just reached this point where I was like, I'm writing some songs that I've written some songs in the past however many years that I love.
I mean, when you're writing for somebody else, even if you have the best relationship, even if you're really good friends, at some level, you're essentially an employee or you're working towards their goal, right? But when you're writing for you, you have all the freedom in the world to do whatever you want. How does that change the way that you think about writing?
I get a question a lot. Like, have you ever written a song for somebody else that you wish you had kept for you? And the answer is pretty much always no, because when I'm writing for myself, I write in a very different way. I write from the beginning of the song pretty much every time. I'll write like the first lyric through written all the way to the end. And when I'm writing for other people, especially, you know, within pop music in most genres, I think universally people would agree that the chorus is the most important part of the song. You know, like that is the part the general public will sing over and over again. It's like the recurring theme of the story. That is always the first thing that gets written. So it's different, but it's so cathartic. I mean, just getting to not think about appeasing anybody or making sure somebody else resonates with the line or like agrees with the line, or, you know, the producer likes the chord change. Yeah, so many things. I'm like, oh, it's finally all my own. It's my own little thing. And it's a breath of fresh air to have that. And then it's also a breath of fresh air to walk back into the other situation and be collaborating again. It makes me appreciate and love that even more. And I think it makes me better as a collaborator to have that time to myself, and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you, what have you learned from working with other artists that you were able to bring to your own
so
work?
Much. Because I actually don't like writing by myself enough to want to do it every day. Like I love it when I need it, and it's cathartic and it's fun, and, you know, but it's scary. It's like sitting in a room with a white wall and somebody being like, paint a mural. I don't care what it is. Just do it. You know, it's intimidating and it's a lot. So it's really nice for me to just do it when I feel like I need to.
My guest today on World Cafe is Amy Allen. She has a new self-titled debut album. And the last song I want to play today is from your new album, and it's really beautiful. It's called Reason to Forgive. It's also a very personal song. Could you tell us about writing this song?
Oof. Yeah, I didn't make this connection until recently, but the themes between Reason to Forgive and the first song I ever put out under my own name are pretty similar. And it's this theme that I have felt my whole life, and I've seen in a lot of women in my life, which is like this beautiful trait of always wanting to see the best in people and forgiving people, and this concept of like unconditional love, which is a crazy concept when you think about it, because like what even is that you love somebody regardless of what they do? Like that is crazy and probably unhealthy in a lot of ways when it comes to like your romantic partner. But Reason to Forgive was kind of like the sister song to this song I put out a long time ago, which didn't really have like an ending to it. The first song I put, the Queen of Silver Linings, kind of was like this open-ended thing. Like, I think I'm going to always be the person that sees the silver lining and like kind of like gets walked all over and like loves even when it's so painful and holds on, even though it's not the right thing to do. And then the song Reason to Forgive, just, I was going through a breakup at the time, and I wrote this other song that's on the album called Break, which was like, I very literally wrote when I was on a break with this person. And then when the relationship finally ended, I wrote this song, Reason to Forgive. And it was kind of like me putting that old version of myself like at bay and being like, you know, for so long I have been the person that will always find a reason to forgive. And then like the last kind of stanza of the song is about being like, it's not good for me. I've entered into my 30s and I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore with my person that I love. I'm not going to like always hold on when it's, you know, very clearly in my gut the wrong thing to do. So that song came from like a really vulnerable, honest place. And I love that people have been resonating with that one, and that I never would have thought that would be the one that out of all the songs on the album, like has streamed the most or people have been connecting with the most. So yeah, it's made me feel really good, because it was like a very full circle, honest moment for me to do that song.
Here's Amy Allen, Reason to Forgive, on the World Cafe.
If I just look hard enough, I'll find a place inside my head where I can hide all the tears and pain you've caused. It's so sad, but I admit, with you I'll always find a reason to forgive. Friends no longer empathize as I continue to roll past the warning signs, singing songs of lines you've crossed, crimes that you commit. With you I'll always find a reason to forgive. But tell me,
World Cafe. That was Amy Allen, Reason to Forgive, a song from her self-titled debut. Her self-titled debut album is out now, and Amy Allen has been my guest today. Thank you so much, Amy. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. It's been really, really interesting.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Back into your music here on World Cafe. In about 4 minutes, gonna put you to work. But first, take a break with something nice and relaxing from Leon Bridges, Peaceful Place.
So alone. To the waves below. Who tends the orchards? Who fixes up the gables? Emotional torture from the heavy high table. Who fetches the water from the rocky mountain spring? And walk back down again to feel your words in a sharp sting. Stabbing with your fork. I know you're a smart man, I know you're a smart man. And weaponize the false incompetence. It's dominance under a guy. If we had a daughter, I'd watch and could not save her. The emotional torture from the head of your high table. She'd do what you taught her. She'd meet the same cool. Can undo this mistake. At least I
labor.
All day, every day, therapist, mother, maid, nymph, then a virgin, nurse, then a servant, just an appendage, lift to attend him so that he never lifts a finger. 24/7 baby machine, so he can live out his picket fence dreams. It's not an act of love if you make her, you make me do too much labor.
All day, every day, therapist, mother, maid, nymph, then a virgin, nurse, then a servant, just an appendage, lift to attend him so that he never lifts a finger. 24/7 baby machine, so he can live out his picket fence dreams. It's not an act of love if you make her, you make me do too much labor.
Public Radio's most listened to music show. This is World Cafe.
Sites and friends. On weeknights they stay in. take out and watch TV, red wine and Chinese, and early to bed. Look at me, Anna, don't have any children. They said they didn't want them, but lately she's thinking, what's the point of this whole thing? Go to work for the weekend, wake up early on Monday, start it over again, and again, and again. At work there's a doctor, says she looks really pretty. Started out as just nothing, guess they just became friends. They take the same lunch break, he understood what her day's like. Made her ask a few questions, what she wants out of life. Happy hours and coffee, and that holiday party. The Tuesday he texts her, said he's back with his wife. She was kinda surprised when she just started sobbing. Had to hide in the bathroom, take some time to herself. She came home crying, he asked her what happens. She said it's just nothing, it's something at work.
You are listening to 8:30 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.